welcome to the Pinnacle 5 podcast series. I'm Summer Yeiser, host of this series of information and advice on financial topics. Our topic for today's podcast is the 5 key banking needs for nonprofits. Our guest today is Gina Scott, a financial advisor who specializes in working with nonprofit organizations. Gina, thank you for joining us. Tell us about the types of nonprofits that you work with.
Well, thanks, Summer. I work with a wide range of nonprofits, primarily charitable organizations, churches, schools, and associations.
Now, you've identified 5 key pieces of information that nonprofits need to consider sharing with their bank. Before you get into detail of each of these, can you give us an overview of what you'll be talking about?
Sure. We're going to discuss today the evaluation of the various accounts and how they're structured, the need or use of treasury management services, the need for loans, the experience of management and board, and the value of the relationship with your bank partner. We'll start with the evaluation of the various accounts and how they're structured. What I mean by that is deposit accounts, for example, for operating funds, restricted funds, event funds, campaign funds. Those might be set up as interest-bearing accounts or non-interest-bearing accounts. There also is a need for reserve accounts, and this might be general reserve funds or endowment funds. And these might be placed in interest-bearing accounts like a bank money market or an investment account. And whether or not you use investment accounts, there's still a need for documented investment policy.
Now, do you typically give them advice on these accounts?
Sure. I like to assist my client in the decision of the structure by learning the specific needs of the organization. Often nonprofits will have several accounts used for various reasons. Some may be more efficient to combine, while others may require separate accounts specified by restrictive language. And this type of accounts might be determined by volume of transactions and balances or flexibility of liquidity.
Now, how much do you work with accountants and attorneys?
Well, I often work with accountants and attorneys, in particular with setting up new organizations. Accountants occasionally when moving relationships over to us or during the audit preparation. Also frequently with accountants when credit is involved. Another key point that your banker should determine is the use of treasury management services and how money moves within the organization. For example, how does a nonprofit collect donor income, event income, capital campaign income, membership dues, and the collection methods might be ACH origination through bank channels or through a website, credit card payments directly or through a website. You might even have mail contributions, and the volume of that mail might determine the need for a lockbox. How payroll is handled, for example, could determine the need for ACH, whether or not the organization originates it or maybe a payroll service. There's also potential need for remote deposit. That's driven by check volume, and that's when you you deposit your checks right on site at your local office. The third thing to consider is the nonprofit's need for a loan. A loan request is basically underwritten the same as for-profit companies. The criteria is based on the 5 C's of credit, and it'd be a great idea for you to go out to our website and listen to the 5 C's of credit podcast. Learn a little bit more about how banks evaluate creditworthiness. However, understanding nonprofit revenue like restricted funds and management makeup are critical to the decision in underwriting a credit. With revenue, key factors in loan decisions is understanding the consistency of the revenue. For example, missional income, like rental income, government income, grants for both operating funds and capital, individual contributions and corporate contributions. Also, the purpose of the loan request. Is the loan for operating lines of credit, and does the operating income support the debt repayment? Capital campaigns. We want to know the history of the organization's fundraising, who are the donors, the likelihood of the collection, and the collection period. Also, you might want to purchase, renovate, or refinance real estate or equipment.
Now, we've heard a lot about the economy impacting giving to nonprofits. So what happens with a loan if a nonprofit doesn't maintain a certain level of income?
Well, like all credit, we want to be aware of any changes on the horizon, both positive and negative, that might affect the ability to repay the loan. We then work with the client to determine a need to adjust the repayment plan that's already in existence. Number four is the experience of the management and the board. Your banker really needs to understand the performance and tenure of management, especially the CEO and executive director. For example, what is the experience level of the management team within the nonprofit community? What kind of financial controls does the team have and the decision-making capability? Also, is there a planning process, both short-term and long-term? And then finally, what is the communication process with the board? And then board makeup is important as well. What is the diversity of the board makeup from both a professional and a demographic perspective? What are the requirements of the board? For example, are they required to fundraise? Are they required to donate? And then at what level does the board play in the oversight of management? The last point that we want to discuss today is the value of the relationship with your bank partner. One of the things that your bank partner will want to consider assisting you with is how to save money on fees and perhaps earn more in interest. Bankers like to make decisions on pricing based on the total relationship. That would mean a combination of all accounts within the bank and all credits within the bank. Sometimes combining accounts from several different banks will decrease your cost and increase your interest. Partnership volunteerism and board membership are also very important. For example, how many of your associates would be willing to volunteer for events, may already volunteer for events, or perhaps there's a board member who is an associate of your bank partner.
Should the nonprofit require a financial contribution from the bank partner? And if so, at what level?
Well, I feel that nonprofits should make the decision to bank with a specific institution based on who will provide the best advice and partnership, and then always ask your bank to partner to support its nonprofit clients through volunteerism and contributions.
Gina, I'm going to recap the 5 points that you've shared with us today. The first being the importance of the evaluation of how the various accounts are structured. Number two is the use of treasury management services. Are the entities taking full advantage of the movement of their money? Number three is the need for loans. What determines a loan decision? Number four, the importance of the experience of management and the board. And number five, the value of the relationship with the bank partner. Gina, do you have any other words of wisdom that you'd like to share with us?
Sure. I really think it's important to be sure that your bank partner understands the nonprofit industry and how best to advise the client in every area of banking. The nonprofit industry has unique needs, and understanding those needs lends to a more beneficial relationship.
Gina, thank you for sharing some very helpful information about creating a successful partnership between a bank and a nonprofit. And thanks to everyone for listening to this Pinnacle 5 podcast. You can learn more about Pinnacle's practices under the About Pinnacle section of our website at pnfp.com.